Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Well, good morning again, church, and grace and peace be with you all. It is indeed a pleasure to be in worship with you this morning, whether you're here on the patio or whether you're joining us online via one of our streams. This morning, we're wrapping up a teaching series called Liturgy of the Ordinary. As we spent the month of August thinking about the ordinary events in our lives and the ways in which God and the Spirit are present throughout our days. So often, it's so easy to segment our lives into, like, you know, we have the God things over here, and then we have our other things over here. And our hope is that through this series, we've been able to incorporate ways that we can see God working through those daily events of our lives, those everyday things we do. And today, we get to talk about one of, at least my personal, absolute favorite things to do. But one of those things that I don't always get enough of, yes, today we're going to talk about sleeping. So, would you please now join me now as we center our hearts and minds before God in prayer. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be pleasing, may they be acceptable in your sight. O God, our great rock, God, our Redeemer. Amen. So we humans don't know on our own how to rest and fall asleep. If anyone's ever had a young child, then you all know what I'm talking about, right? It turns out that the children actually learn to rest in a similar way that they learn to walk or to run and to talk. Resting, sleeping, actually takes practice. I've discovered this firsthand with our one-year-old daughter as we've raised her for the last year and had to convince her and beg her, please, would you just fall asleep, right? You lay her down for that nap. You think you've done everything perfectly, but she just won't sleep. And you say, but I need to get this thing done over here. But you're not sleeping, which means I can't do the work that I need to do. We have routines and rituals around falling asleep. We dim the lights in her room. We read her a book or two. We rock her in her chair. We say her prayers. We sing a song. Sometimes we'll have a bath beforehand. Eventually, we decide it's a good idea to put up blackout curtains, right? Without these routines, getting our daughter to sleep would be nigh unto impossible, and even with them, sometimes it's a struggle. But without those patterns and rhythms around sleep, she'll stay up too late, she'll get overtired, she'll sleep poorly, and then whenever she finally does fall asleep, frequently it leads into a rough day the next day if she didn't get the rest she needed. And we all know this, right? We also have to learn how to rest, even as adults. How many times, I can't imagine I'm the only person who does this, but maybe, we're watching that binge-worthy show on Netflix, and it just says the next one up is going to play in 5, 4, 3, oh, nope, it started, I can't stop now. Got to watch another episode, and then another episode. We know we need to get up to work the next day. We know we need our sleep. But just one more, right? Now we may not immediately think of rest as a spiritual thing. But our habits around rest connect to our spiritual life. They connect to what we love and our willingness to trust that God's grace is with us. Sometimes even beckoning us to slow down and take it easy. From the beginning of creation, we read, from the beginning, very early in Scripture, built into Jewish law, built into one of our Ten Commandments, is the commandment to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. We read in the creation poem of Genesis 1 that God created, and then God rested. God spent 6 days and then rested on the seventh day. Built into the fabric of creation is rest. We learn rest first and foremost from God. And because God rested, we are invited to keep this same rhythm. Work for 6 days, but then remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath is remembering that we are not limitless people. It's remembering that we have a creator who also rested. It is remembering that what we have is a gift from God in the first place. God is a God who rests. God chose not to be limitless in creation. I think that word choose is a really important thing, because God's God. God could just keep pouring and creating and doing and doing and doing. But God chose to not be limitless. I love the way Matthew Sleeth puts it in his book 24:6. He writes, "Rest shows us who God is. He has restraint. Restraint is refraining from doing everything one has the power to do. We must never mistake God's restraint for weakness. No, the opposite is true. God shows restraint. Therefore, restraint is holy." And in other words, you could say slowing down and resting is a holy thing to do. We hopefully get a glimpse of this every Sunday morning through worship. Hopefully worship is a time where we can come and find some rest for our souls. Maybe you can find rest in the music, rest in the scripture, rest in the prayers. Maybe, yes, even in or during the sermon, I understand. I hope there's always an experience of grace to participating in worship on Sunday. A time to reorient and remind us of the ways that God is present in our daily lives. Friends, rest is a gift from God. And this is the invitation of our scripture today. See, following Jesus shouldn't come with an experience of adding on tons of requirements and restrictions in our lives. And Jesus is speaking to a group of people who have had a whole lot of restrictions and things put on them in order to be right with God. Instead, Jesus is saying it should be an experience of grace and rest from the toil and trying that we all think we need to do to make God happy or to succeed at life. This is what Jesus is getting at as he says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion?" He's saying, is this thing that is meant to bring you closer to God, to provide your soul's rest, actually wearing you out? Have you so taken grace and made it a bunch of rules such that you're exhausted by all the rules you've made around it? If so, come find something new in me. He says, "I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." In other words, you'll find rest. See, rest in God's grace is not far from the actual rest that we all need in our lives. Rest and the need for rest reveal some important things about our relationships with others, about our relationship with God. We're going to talk about some of the ways that rest connects to our lives and our spiritual lives. And first, we rest because we have limits, y'all. We're not unlimited machines. No matter what Netflix or Hulu might want to tell you with one more episode to binge watch. No matter what your Facebook feed might tell you at 10:30 and 11 and 11:30 at midnight and so on. We're not limitless. We live in a culture, though, that values constantly barraging us with information if we allow it to. We live in a world that will keep pressing unless we choose to press back. Technology that was meant to make us more productive has really just made us more accessible, hasn't it? More available all the time to our jobs, to entertainment, to the marketers who want to communicate with us. Instead of helping us get more done, it's made us more available to work all of the time. According to a National Health Survey in 2013, nearly 30% of adults averaged under 6 hours of sleep each night. This is well below the recommended 7 to 8 hours. Yet when we deprive our body of rest, we limit our creativity and our ability to be present with others. We limit our ability to be present with God. Ironically, we also limit our productivity. Think about how differently the world looks after a good night's rest than it did before. Think about that ability to work after a good night's sleep. See, there's a blessedness in unproductivity that I think we Americans need to learn. Acknowledging our limits is an act of trust in a God who provides and watches over us. It means trusting that even if we don't create, even if we're not productive for one day, God will still provide and it will still be okay. The way we rest also reveals what we love. I love this idea. An indicator of what we love is what we are willing to give up sleep for, right? I love my daughter, which means that I'm willing to give up some of my precious sleep because she wakes up early every morning, no matter what time I decide to go to bed, right? I can stay up late watching TV, talking to people, surfing the internet, but I still have to wake up at 6 a.m. whenever she wakes up, because that's whenever she wakes up and she is ready to go right then. Rarely, though, will I stay up extra late doing something that really matters. It's frequently doing things like watching TV, cruising the internet, not doing something like praying. Tish Harrison Warren, I love the way she puts it. My willingness to sacrifice much needed rest and my prioritizing amusement over work or work over the basic needs of my body and the people around me reveal that these good things, entertainment and work, have taken a place of ascendancy in my life. In the nitty-gritty of my daily life, repentance for idolatry may look as pedestrian as shutting off my email an hour earlier and resisting that alluring clickbait to just go to bed. Our phones, our work, our TVs, our computers can become these little idols in our lives. These little things that pull our attention away from the things that really matter, that make us believe we're limitless. I can remember one evening, and it's not just one evening because I know it's been more than one, where it was late and I knew I shouldn't look at my email. Have you all ever been there? It's late, but you're like, I feel like I should pull this up and check it. Everything had been going great that evening. You were getting ready to go to bed, and all of a sudden you decide to pull up your email and that one email came through. And it sets you off. It set me off. It frustrated you. It disrupted you. And all of a sudden you were on edge and you felt like you all of a sudden had this work that needed to happen right then. And you had to choose, do I go to bed? Do I go to do this work? But the reality is, seeing that email didn't do me any good. It didn't make me more productive. It didn't make me a better person. The work that could have been done could have easily waited until the next day after I'd gotten a full night's rest. But instead, that slight addiction to feeling needed, to feeling like I need to be productive, caused me to pull that up and look at it. The way we rest reveals what we love. And in that moment, I loved work over rest. Rest reveals our limits. Rest reveals our loves. And rest is the rhythm we are given by God. Be that Sabbath rest by taking a day off and seeking God during that day, or literally perhaps just taking a nap and giving your body time to recharge. Y'all, there's blessedness in intentional unproductivity. When we find ourselves without something to do, we move from human doings to human beings. To rest is to be created in the image of God. To stop doing is the example we have been given. God rested. And if we are seeking to be more in God's image, then we too must find ways to rest, to be free from our work for at least a short time. To rest is holy. And throughout Scripture, we find God frequently showing up to people who are resting, not people who are actively doing. I find this really interesting. When messengers came to Abraham to bring him this message of that he was going to have a son and that he was going to have this great nation, we find that they came whenever he was resting at the entrance of his tent, just sitting there doing nothing. That's whenever they showed up. And throughout Scripture, we find that God shows up to people in their sleep while they're dreaming, not while they're out doing things. God works uniquely in these times of rest whenever we can finally slow down. I like the way Mark Buchanan puts it. Most of the things we need to be most fully alive never come in busyness. They grow in rest. When we rest, we find ourselves more in line with the rhythm of our Creator, with the rhythm of who we are created to be. To begin this rhythm, I think we have to learn. We have to learn, and learning takes time and grace. Maybe rest for you means giving yourself the permission to not complete your to-do list one day. Any of those achievers out there just love that feeling of checking every single thing off your list? I'm definitely one of them. Maybe it means intentionally taking something out of your schedule so you just have a little bit more leeway. Maybe it means taking a day of Sabbath rest, a day of unproductivity. Try not creating for today, for a day. Try not doing your to-do list for a day. If you can't handle a day, try half a day. If you can't handle half a day, try a few hours. Try just not doing something. Read a book. Sit on your porch and enjoy nature. Don't create. Don't accomplish. Just be. This is the invitation of Sabbath. And to not do is holy. Or maybe for you today, learning to rest is more about checking out from technology and our phones and the constant barrage of information that is coming at us 24/7. What's your ritual like as you prepare for bed? Are you preparing your mind and your soul to sleep? Do you need to turn off your phone a little bit earlier, or use the screen time feature or do not disturb so that your phone is harder to check? Do you need to center yourself in grace through scripture or prayer before bed? I forget who said it, but I love this. So someone once said, "There is no more blessed sleep than sleep that is entered through prayer." Rest not only your body, but rest your soul. Rest in Jesus, who beckons us, who speaks this truth afresh to us today. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And thanks be to God for that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.